News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage
in association with AIR.
Minister for Health Jennifer Carol McNeill has just published Health in Ireland Key Trends 2025 that looks at the data around what is making us sick and how well we are and how long we're living. And there's good news on that. Brendan O'Shea is with us, Assistant Adjunct Professor in Public Health and Primary Care at Trinity College Dublin and Medical Director of KDOC. By the way, are you KDOC, Brendan, or KDOC?
KDOC.
KDOC. Listen, the good news, I suppose, is longevity, first of all. We're all living longer.
No doubt about that. And even since 2015, there's been an increase in life expectancy of around 2 years for men and women. Men living on average now to 81 years, women living to 84 years. And it's good quality life is the impression on the ground, that we're supporting people more in the community with more community-based services to an extent. And also people's perception of their own health is particularly positive. We're among the most positive in Europe in that regard. We're reporting ourselves to be healthy to a good extent. Breastfeeding rates are up from 58% up to 65%. And again, you can ask yourself, does this relate to Manana Hearn, to Irish women and their families, or does it reflect migrants who have significantly higher rates of breastfeeding? But let's not get too caught up on it. It's just a good thing to see it moving in that direction. There are other things that on the face of it look okay, but mightn't be. The numbers of doctors in hospitals has very significantly increased by 62% since 2016. That's a big cost item. It's unfortunate to see that there's a disproportionate increase in junior hospital doctors and a more modest increase in hospital doctors. That's a concern.
Is that not logical though? Presumably one becomes the other.
No. It's not. In the Irish health system, that's not the case. A significant proportion stay in nominally training jobs for much longer periods. We do systematically steal international medical graduates from Pakistan, from Sudan and various other developing countries. We put them in jobs that are really travelling nowhere. We rely critically on them for health and they are not the same as specialists. So that is a concern and it really is that's a can of worms and the data here doesn't really allow us to drill into that. Beyond that clear observation, there's a disproportionate increase in junior hospital doctors. And of course, hey, I'm a GP. There isn't a word about GPs in all of this report, which is quite a chunky one that I could find. And again, there's a feeling that we are looking at the macro data. We are funding the hospital system quite well, but there's very little reassuring data regarding increasing the numbers of GPs, of GP nurses and spending on primary care. And that leads on to the other issue, which is this is supposed to be driven by sláinte care. And sláinte care is the agreed policy that we're working under. And it's a good policy. It's evidence-based. And certainly the sláinte care markers in this report are not reassuring, like, for example, the numbers of GPs and GP nurses.
Well, on the principle that every silver lining has a cloud, you mentioned we are all living longer. With that comes an impact on the health system, because apparently now people 65 and older accounting for more than half of inpatient bed days used in 2024.
Well, I'm glad you spotted that one. And another one is the number of ED attendances are 1.4 million during the last year. And that's kind of presented as, well, isn't this fantastic, sort of. But of course it isn't. Why are there 1.4 million people in the emergency department? Could it possibly have to do with inadequacy in community care services and particularly inadequate numbers of GPs and GP nurses? If we had more GPs and more GP nurses, we could almost certainly do more for people and keep them out of casualty departments. All GP cooperatives, including KDOC, have a large number of people attending them during the night because they cannot get appointments with their own GPs. That's not highlighted in this report, but then you wouldn't expect it to be. So, again, you can step out of the report for a moment and ask ourselves, this very expensive hospital system we have, 28 acute hospitals, arguably half of them are too small. Are not fit for purpose and could be much more usefully turned into centres for ambulatory care for these older people who a lot of the time don't need to be in acute beds, but there isn't the capacity elsewhere in the system to take them or to mind them. On the plus side, the prevalence of childhood obesity is improving and it's dropped from around 22% down to 17%, which is absolutely fantastic. But then a shocking figure a shocking figure relates to prevalence of childhood poverty. I found it upsetting to read that 0 to 17 year olds have an 8% prevalence of childhood poverty in 2024. This is a very affluent society we're living in. This is a shocking statistic, and the humanity behind that crude piece of data is actually upsetting.
And it's 1 in 10 in one of the richest countries in the entire world finding themselves living in childhood poverty.
This data says we're European outliers. Three quarters of the population pay up front for their primary care, for their general practice, for a lot of their community and for their medication. All other European citizens have this free at the point of delivery. What kind of society do we want to live? This whole report suggests to me that we are growing the health system. I'm not reassured that we're growing it quickly enough and in the right way. I would ask the minister and particularly her officials, hey, what about Sláintecare care? Can we not do more to keep people out of hospitals? An investment in primary care is extremely cost effective. But when you're treating people in the acute hospital system towards the end of life, that's extremely expensive. We should be putting it on the younger generation. Also, the broad markers are very, very crude. There's a lot more granular information that we could seek out. Stigma, for example, and self-stigma in particular important populations, including people who are overweight, including migrant health.
Let's finish on a positive note. We're knocking the booze and the fags on the head a bit.
Massive progress in relation to smoking rates, and well done everybody out there. And actually, overall, well done everybody. Well done families, well done community pharmacists, well done people working so hard in hospitals, the people in the schools. The Sláintecare policy framework is brilliant. It's got the joined up thinking. It would be really nice if this minister could actually could give that a bit of an oomph going forwards. But I don't think it's a very heroic administration we have in. I think they're careful and cautious. I think we should bet on ourselves. Bettman's Sláintecare.
Brendan, thank you very much. Brendan O'Shea, Assistant Adjunct Professor in Public Health and Primary Care at Trinity College Dublin and Medical Director of KDOC.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.